Okay, so, well, we'll let John, we'll get back to John here in a second, but the Children's Hospital thing, just so everybody knows, really how everybody came up with that out here was getting through resistance getting into schools, right? Because, you know, like a lot of the school district guys that, you know, they have like this, you know, every district has different policies for like distributing flyers and things like that in their schools. And in a lot of cases, if it's a for-profit business, they have like certain hoops you have to jump through and rules you have to go through in order to be able to distribute flyers to them, right? The Children's Hospital thing basically was just a way to, it was a way to kind of get around that. So basically they were, we distribute the flyers through the school district, they distribute them to the students take them home or whatever, and basically what they're doing is donating $49 to, in that case, Arnold Palmer or whatever, right? And what we're doing is we're giving them a free month of lessons in a uniform for $49, but we're writing all the checks over to Arnold Palmer, right? So we're doing it for free, but basically it's just a way to get around the gatekeeper of the school, right? And I think in Sasha's case, I don't know how much he gave him, you know, $2,000-$3,000 or something like that. I mean, usually it's, you know, something like that, but the like, you know, you just kind of hit your head against the wall until you find a way in, you know what I mean? And that was one of those deals that kind of got the way in, you know?
Finally, after like 3 years of being out, a former chief of police started a non-profit in town, so I'm going back in through him.
Yeah. After getting out of what? Being a chief?
Yeah. No. So he started a non-profit called Kids First.
Or being stuck out of the school.
Town. So we're doing a fundraiser for his non-profit, and that's how we're getting back on schools. But it's been a few years. We were doing really well in there for a while. I don't think we ticked anybody off, but I think the... everyone else asking you, we were doing ticked off somebody's.
Yeah. It's I mean.
That's why it's so hard to get into schools, because if they let you in, then that's what everybody has.
Yeah. Well, that's what they think, and usually the whole school thing, when we tell them we're going to donate all the money back to them anyway, that usually eliminates any of that, because nobody else is really usually wanting to do that. You know what I mean? They're trying to do something else. Like, you know, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. But anyway, so back to Jonathan's quandary here.
I think we can kind of move on from it, honestly. I think we've
okay.
Kind of talked it.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Talked it through. I mean,
the economics of the economics.
The economics of the economics, and I think what it comes down to is I just kind of have to choose what I'm going to do and try it for a year, and if it doesn't work the right way, and if it does, it does.
Yeah, I think so. And the calendar's brilliant. We all like that, right? What do you perceive to be the big enrollment closing challenge of late? Is there an objection that is new, different?
Price
is new?
You know, I used to have some price objections, of course, but it's really become pervasive now. Like, it used to be, you know, 40 or 30%, if that. Maybe less, actually. It was probably less than this, you know, were price objections, and now it's like the vast majority. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, wow, I didn't realize it was going to be this much. So I think it's combination price commitment objective objection. I think it's just a reflection of the mass psychology of what's going on right now. So,
I agree. I've seen that upturn in that.
Yeah. Well, we were talking.
It's got to be, you know, everybody's just going.
They're freaked out. Yeah.
Well, we were talking at the hotel this morning too. That, you know, there was a time when, you know, my info calls, not too many of them asked price. Every single info call that comes into the school, the first question out of their mouth is price.
How much is it?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, there's no answer, right? I mean, the answer is, you know, what are we doing to solve it? You know, so.
Well, we have one thing we've changed that seems to be helping quite a bit. We started getting the same thing. We have a short application. If they call or if they go online, they have to fill out an application to come in to do the info. So right on it, we used to say that our classes range between 130 to 190 a month. Will that be comfortable for them? I don't remember the wording, but we added basically the sentence now says, in today's economy, you have to be very careful that you're investing in money wisely. Is $130 to $190 investment comfortable for you? Mm. So we're tying it into today's economy. And in one sentence, you kind of, it really seems to make a difference.
But it's point out the elephant in the room, right? Right. I mean,
and there will be a handful that say, no, I can't even, what are you crazy? Well, then.
Okay, yeah.
But better to learn before you waste your time.
Right.
And that's probably a small
then you don't take the time to do the lesson. Yeah.
No, I agree 100%. And that's kind of how, you know, how, like, to be honest, we haven't seen a lot of that. I know in Florida we haven't had to deal with much of that, especially on info calls. honestly, because we're not relying on inbound and we'll call as much at all anyway. You know, we're doing almost all outbound now. You know what I mean? So everything is coming from like that lead pipeline. So they're kind of raising their hand in one form or another, either online or whatever. And then once they get into the pipeline, it's kind of different. You know, so it's not like a cold lead call.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll tell you what's strange.
So it's useful.
The two info calls I took today, when you watched me leave the room, we track where everybody comes from, okay? Which I think most schools do. Both of those people Googled us, both clicked through our AdWords account. Neither one of them registered online. They called the school from the phone number off of our website, which is not something I'm used to seeing. Yeah. And that's been the trend lately. We've got a tremendous amount of traffic being driven by our website, but nobody's clicking in and submitting in. And I've had you look at the site, and a couple of people have looked at the site, and it's not the site.
Well, I mean, they're calling. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's not like they're.
But it's just it's different. You know, it's just different.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's not. You know. I don't know what that number is. So people who visit a call, I don't know.
More and more people aren't using the phone book. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's true. No, absolutely.
Can I throw something up on here?
Yeah.
So probably. Do I have a few minutes left?
Cause yeah, absolutely.
It's, if I could right get some advice on, I'm at the note-taking stage or early stage of creating a PowerPoint sales presentation.
Yeah, I think I saw your outline a while back, right?
I don't think so. What's that? I don't think so, because it wasn't great. I wouldn't have even noticed it. You may have seen intro process.
I think a Red Bull
would
be good right now.
Presentation.
Red Bulls.
With a shot of Jaeger. With a shot of Jaeger mixed in, right?
So this is something I just started working on this month.
This looks great.
Yeah, I went with the Microsoft theme. I probably have something.
It's very mile high edge.
What is it? There you go. The green screen, blue or whatever.
That's pretty cool.
So each of the major bulletin points is a section, and each of this level of bulletin points is a slide. So I thought I'd start with, just tell me.
Advertising to the Mexicans there.
Advertising?
So I thought I'd start with credibility, just sort of why should they believe anything I'm about to say. Talk about the organization, about myself, about some key staff members, about how we train our staff members in a lot of different, and then a couple of third-party endorsements. And I was going to actually sprinkle some sidebar third-party endorsements throughout these slides.
Jonathan, could you back up? Is this your order of your intro that you're talking about here?
This is actually the order of a sales presentation to close an intro after my intro process is more or less complete. So what I've done is developed a 25 to 30 slide sales presentation to close.
So right now you don't have one.
Right now I don't have anything. Right now I have a piece of paper that has the prices. So I don't have any format for building value outside the intro process.
Before I had one of these, my sales were horrible. Yeah. After I did this, it just puts that visual in front of people and. It, totally
so. We haven't done one.
Definitely give them something to interact with.
Put this on high priority.
You're giving those guys something to follow.
We haven't done one for our intro process yet, but we just finished the upgrade one, and the upgrade one has totally changed our numbers for our upgrade program. It's unbelievable.
So, next thing was schools don't prepare kids for life. I get a whole bunch of ugly stats on the stats page about gifted kids, dropout rates, juvenile crime, bullying, child abuse, the critical success skill. And then I have another on school culture. Every sixth critical success skills are non-academic and non-tested skills are de-emphasized in the current, education system. Critical success skills are ethical. This takes time to sort of stop going these critical success skills. And then the next section is about how we have a structured character development program, about our character development, that sticks program, that's just our little trademark system there. And go forth and validate other options like dance and gymnastics, staying at home, team sports.
So you should probably handshake solve.
Yeah.
Be careful of beating up other activities then.
Yeah, I'll be careful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the phrase you used is right, the way no other activity, the way no other X can. You know what I mean? That's really useful.
How our schools deliver benefit X. And what will be interesting here is that
Of the top 10 benefits, link to presentation 2. And what presentation 2 is, it will be a benefit-driven...
Yeah. I was going to suggest that, yeah.
Because I have a How We Teach Benefit X document, and there's 10 benefit X's that are the ones that you last
time. Yeah. You see, you're talking about basically just like we have the web, we're setting the website up.
Exactly.
So depending on, like with PowerPoint 07, you can create basically like hyperlinks. So depending on where you click, it'll take you to a different slide, mm-hmm. right? So you're siphoning them off, message to market managing them, yeah. based on what the benefit is like.
Even
so
in Office,
really smart.
Even in Office 2003, you can link to another file.
Oh, to the file. Oh, there you go. Oh, there you go.
John, how long do you envision this taking?
7.
I'm thinking if I sort of do Chet Holmes style, bang them with slides, it should be 15 minutes. Yeah. 15 minutes to talk them, 5 minutes to sign paperwork.
And this is after, so this is after intro 2?
After intro 2.
After intro 2, yeah.
Yeah, so intro 1, we identify, it's a group class in my regular
30 slides
class.
And 15
we
minutes.
We identify benefit actually set up a set private intro 2. Where we go, where we teach, where we collect the homework from BenefitX.
Yeah.
Because
we
gave them homework after intro 1. We collected and we do a little bit of class specifically geared towards BenefitX.
Yeah.
And,
the second one. Yeah.
5 to 7 minute class, and then we do a 15 minute sales presentation and close to a half hour appointment.
Think you could get the same effect cutting half of this away?
I don't know. That's what I'm here to ask you guys.
Yep. My first thing that popped into my head was 30 slides seems like a lot. And I don't know if, personally, as a customer, I'd want to sit through that. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Did you ever watch a demonstration and it's just too long?
Upgrade slides that I use, I think it's 10 slides. And it takes me about 10 minutes to get through, and it's more than enough.
Okay, so maybe I should cut back on the slides. Here's my first couple lines.
Well, you know, there's probably two concerns here, too, because you both said it differently. There's time, and then there's... number of slides, and they both probably need to be
time
thought about, right?
Time's
because
important.
You know, if I'm looking at any one slide for a certain number of
well here
you know what, let me,
so in other words, if you click through like tick, you'll be all right, but if, you know,
well and what I'm saying is there's some science behind that too. Mm-hmm.
The slide should prompt you to engage the parent or whoever versus them just reading your slides,
right?
Exactly. And I think the okay, I've got a couple things I can tell you about slides when you're done. So why don't we go through this and
time out. One more thing. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have programs like this for different benefits.
Yeah.
You know how we have the letter that you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. That my presentation is geared that way. Mm-hmm. What would you like to see Johnny get out of it? More self-discipline. So I have a program like this, self-discipline. Right. And that way we get.
That's what he's saying. In that, on that third one, it routes them off, depending on what they say.
Okay.
The benefit X. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. I missed that.
Yeah. But not the X. The X is the factor. You know, whatever that X is he's putting that in there.
Yep.
Each one of your presentations is the same up to a certain point.
Can you guys post on the board your PowerPoint that you're talking about?
If Toby will give me access to your board, I'll post it for you.
Yeah, I have those too, but yeah.
Okay.
Actually, Merrick, but. We can get it done.
Okay. Do you have it with you? I don't. So I'll show
you that.
Should. Real quickly about our school, a couple of things, a little bit about my background, a little bit about staff background, what people say about us, testimonials, a couple of pop-up testimonials here.
Yeah.
But John, another thing, you're going from 1 to 2 intros, you now have the opportunity, which you didn't have, for lots of handouts and things between the first and the second. So half of this could be covered with testimonial sheets and brochures or whatever.
Well, and I'm wondering how important it is to get into what you do. And, you know, I mean, don't take that the wrong way. But in my opinion, and at least listen from what you and Master Oliver have told me, they don't really care who you are and what you do. Now, what's important is your staff's trained a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, like our big bullet points are how much staff training we do.
Right.
The staff's all CPR and first aid certified. You know, those are our big things. I don't get into the things that I've done and accomplished in my career. That's something that if they want to go to our student services site later on, they can read up on our staff, you know.
Well, the question I was trying to answer is why should they believe in
this? Yeah. What you're both saying is right. What you're saying is nobody cares about you, right? But in addition to that, what he's saying as well is why should I listen to the next 6 slides?
Right.
Right? And you're right. You know what I mean? I think you're right. And I'll give you my feedback on the other slide in a minute here, but
But along those same lines, like, we just put together a 15-page nothing but testimonials that you give out after the first intro.
Yeah. Right.
The testimonials are going to address a lot of
them. I do that too, but I don't think they're going to read in. They're just going to be like, oh, wow, this place is good.
Yeah. I don't know. You'd be surprised because we put a booklet together like that, like a little book, like a mini book that we hand to the people when they first come in. And you'd be surprised at how many people have actually come back to me. And, you know, they may not read every page, but they may read the first two.
What you just said is key, though. Yeah. In your mind, you know how important all this stuff is. Yeah. But the real thing is, have you gained their trust?
Yeah.
If you can get that,
right.
You don't need them to read this.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So maybe I'm being redundant. Those things were elsewhere in my process. I was trying to think this thing has to be whole and complete to itself, but it doesn't.
Do you, it's good thinking. I was just sitting there looking at that. You were talking about the students. Can you tell me the percentage of students that make A's and B's in your school?
It'd be a good number.
It's 82% in my school.
If you had the number, you should use it.
And my leadership program is 92%. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. 86% of my whole student body, 92% of my leadership program, 67% of my leadership program have straight A's. We got many junior honor society.
That needs to be in every piece of marketing you ever use ever.
That's
Lloyd was the same way. That was Lloyd's deal. Was he had that after school program where he's got the computer lab upstairs. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got teachers and stuff.
Right.
And he's like, you know, I just felt like doing it one day, and I had everybody bring in their report card, and he tracked everything. And he's like, damn, you know, he's like, wouldn't you know it if you know 90 something percent of all my guys were on the AB honor roll, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and so he uses it in everything now, you know, but yeah, that should be...
But see, that right there, if they're looking at the results, and I'm trying to say, you know, this is the statistics here at our school.
Yeah, numbers are useful.
Well, the kids that you know don't do well, don't ask them to bring their report card.
100% of our students.
100% of the ones we check.
It does have to be a believable number.
What about that kid standing outside with the black clothes on and his skateboard? Oh, we didn't ask him.
Yeah.
I got three of those.
No, he just looks different. He's a straight.
What is it?
Oh, no.
So well, I was just going to flip through with a whole bunch of things. Talking about dropouts from a gifted perspective, dropouts from every child left behind perspective. And it's also kind of a commitment objection. Mm-hmm. I was just going to sort of talk over these slides. And then these are violent crime stats. Or off the FBI website. Mm-hmm. I did this in a women's self-defense presentation where I had this big messy chart and I pointed out just a couple items in the big messy chart and it was real effective because it got instant credibility just because it was this big messy chart.
Yeah.
It looks true. It must be true.
Yeah, and it's off the FBI website.
If you put the FBI logo on it, I mean.
And it scrolls too, so it's like, oh Jesus, I don't want to watch this. So and I took stuff off of the actual, our local town. Bring in local quizzes for the national stamps. And that's all I had. That's all I had prepared. Anyway, so what you saw, which obviously, you know, I tend to overwrite and then cut, was outline for credibility, outline for schools don't prepare kids for life. And we're about up to here. I was just about to start critical success goals or ethical. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of where I was heading.
Well, is this what you show your people like when you're doing the presentation and stuff?
This is after the second intro.
Yeah,
this is right before. This is how he's going to sign.
Oh, I see.
Basically.
Because the way I would look at that would be, you know, you're saying all these great things and correct things, but you know, how does it deal with that particular person? As opposed to, like, I do a similar type of approach, but my deal is, you know, little Johnny, for example, you know, these, how does he stack up against it? Well, you know, he's got C's and stuff. Well, so, well we're going to get him fixed. I mean, because it's direct to them.
I think you missed that part. It's okay. When he gets to the third point, he has a benefit X, and that's directly related to their specific benefit. And that takes them to that section of the PowerPoint.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So he does actually a pretty good job of in the outline addressing that.
Okay.
And it's real direct to their benefit. But it's the right thing to be thinking. You know,
well, is there,
it's all about that. They're not going to get it from school. They're not going to get it from sports. But what they're going to get, that's what I do. And you know, that's the point of the two sections that I've typed up so far. And it's also to try and throw some stats, and I'll supplement the stats with some graphics to make it a little bit easier on the eye.
Right, right.
And I can make it go faster that way.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, too. I mean, I like the layout of the presentations and the way it flows. I don't know. I'm so stuck on what Master Oliver said about that whole thing, especially since they helped us redo the website and we removed everything about, you know, us, per se.
Right.
Not about what the school has done and, you know, like, I mean, we have stuff on there about the charity work that we do and community services and stuff like that, but not particularly about us, the instructor. So that's what I wanted to see, what Toby's idea was, because, you know, that's our next thing that we're working on at this point. So,
you know, I'm clear that they don't care about me, and I don't need them to care about me because they're not here for me, they're here for them.
Right.
The question is, you know, who's the guy sitting across the table talking to me, or if it's my program director presenting this,
right.
You know, who am I buying into? A little bit of the celebrity marketing thing, a little bit, you know, just to have a little bit of credibility in terms of what you're talking about. Because if it was, you know, is this guy making some pretty big promises, who the hell is he, you know, to say this
right,
kind of thing?
Right.
Well, he's got some nice accreditation and some nice background. That's why we should believe him. So it kind of answers the what's in it for me question and the why, what's this guy going to do for me and why should I believe he can?
Yeah, only outside chance that they actually have been to another school.
Yeah.
No.
Do you have a video with testimonials?
I now have a lot of video testimonials, but I feel like I just haven't put them in any useful format yet.
We're working on that now too. I've got some out on YouTube.
I just hired a professional video.
That's I don't know how many of you guys are doing that. You guys all got videos out on YouTube.
I do a lot of that thing.
We ambush. Camcorder in hand. Quick, go.
Seriously, I plant parents in my lobby when I have an intro that I know
is
a tough one.
I've done that.
And I'll just say, hey, there's somebody coming in that you really need to talk to.
Well, because it always sounds better coming from somebody else.
And what bugs me the most is a mom or a dad, doesn't matter, who's not on board, but the kid and the other parent are way on board.
We just have one of those.
And no matter what you say, they're not going to
I just had a mom come in and sign the kid up, and the father came in screaming two nights later.
Yeah.
And I said, but your wife asked you 3 times to come to a trial lesson, and you wouldn't come.
Uh-huh.
So she went ahead and made a decision out without you. What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Can't help you. You know, we sat him down and went through everything with him. By the time he left, he was on board, but we couldn't even get him into school. He wouldn't even come to a trial lesson. We tried to get him there for the enrollment conference. He wouldn't come in for that. And then he was pissed when his wife went ahead and did something without him.
I had a dad that was like that the whole time the kid trained.
Well, I mean,
went to black belt. Dad went there for his black belt
right.
test.
But
this kid price. Went from being what I term a carpet walker, come walking like that, to up front of class, talking to everybody, coming out in the lobby and talking to parents because he would help out with the junior classes and stuff like that. His mom flat out says he would have never done that if he wasn't here. You know,
so I have to build more value into my.
We have a little girl in our school that
she
was at another school previous to coming to us, and she was a selective mute. She don't talk to nobody unless she really likes him and really knows him. So I mean, other than her own family, she wouldn't talk to anybody. You'd look at her, she wouldn't even nod her head to answer you.
Really?
So the school she was at, the instructor threw them out and told the mother that your daughter's a disrespect. A little like bit because she won't yes ma'am me yeah nice right they've got their priorities in the wrong place.
How old is
she? Was 7 when I got her or 8 when I got her. She's 11 now. She went to U.S. Nationals last year. She won both forms in fighting. She's on my elite team. She's talking to everybody. She's starting to come in and teach. She's a totally different kid, all because somebody gave her a chance. It's amazing.
Build up her confidence.
Well, yeah, it's, you know. But it's amazing what's out there. It really is. People that own schools, it's scary. It's really scary.
For sure.
I'd like to...
Are you up next?
I'd like to hear you how you walk through your... the brothers that you... I mean, is it heavy...
Is it that later?
Electronic presentation, that kind of stuff? I mean,
I've never done any of that. My purpose has always been very simple.
Yeah.
You know, they take their introductory class.
Not to do anything.
I pick up the sheet if it wasn't me.
Could it possibly be that late? Didn't we go to lunch at noon?
Looks,
it's only 3:01.
Yeah, it's 3.
You're still on the wrong really time frame, man.
Oh, oh my goodness.
I kept doing that until my phone. My phone. My phone didn't change. You know what? Your computer doesn't change. My computer in the hotel room's got the wrong time, too. It's set for where you live.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Did we get off track?
No.
Okay, here. And did you get any feedback on that PowerPoint at all?
Yeah.
How are we doing on that?
A ton of it.
Good. Here are the two things that I noticed.
Yeah,
and let me do like one in the form of let's all learn something that I just learned, and another one in the form of something you guys probably already know. But like in sales letters, like in copywriting, right? And see, like, you know, even like, you know, kind of stuck up Dan's butt on this for a while, but there's like formulas, right, to make this stuff work faster. And you did one, but it's probably useful for everybody to kind of talk about it for a second. What you did is problem agitate solve, right? So, like, one of the formulas for writing a sales letter is you identify a problem. Oops. You agitate. Pretend. By invalidating every other, by emotionalizing the problem, invalidating every other solution but your own, right? And then you solve it. There's also ADA, A-I-D-A, right? Which is attention, interest, desire, action. Right? You've got before and after. You've got the tale of two men, the Wall Street Journal one. You guys know that, right? Two people start off at the same place, and one goes one way, one goes, you know, two people, same background, same education, same this, same that, same everything. But one guy's a millionaire and one guy's broke. What's the difference? The difference was, and the turning point is what you're selling, right? Basically. So that's the tale of two men. That's the Wall Street Journal. That was the highest grossing advertorial that's ever been run in the Wall Street Journal. It's the only reason I know that one. Stan uses it all the time. But so what he's kind of focusing on is this, right? And he's added like the component of sort of like credibilityizing and stuff.
Toby, I thought that they might want to get autographs.
I heard Jonathan's book. They got him. Like,
oh, there you go. Since I hit a box full in my garage.
Oops. But anyway, so what he's doing is this deal, right? Now, this is like super effective, right? It's a really good like concept to do exactly what you're doing. The one thing I noticed on the PowerPoint itself, though, and this is a new thing kind of for me, right, is 2 years ago, Terry Jones, is his name? Terry Jones, the guy that
did Tom and Jerry.
No, Travosti.
Oh,
anyway,
it's Terry Jones.
I can't remember his name. Terry Jones, I think his name is. But he was the CEO of Travosti, and he did one of the best presentations I've ever seen in my life from the stage, not selling anything, right? So he was like entertaining and energetic, and I mean, he was really, really, really good. But partway through his presentation, kind of the value he's bringing to the table was how to do PowerPoints, right? How to do like presentation from the stage on PowerPoint. And here was kind of like his outline was most people, and it's kind of what I'm seeing is why we should talk about it. Most people kind of use PowerPoint as a way to remind themselves of what their presentation is and give them their own bullet points to talk through, which is fine. That's one use for it. But you have to look through the prospect's eyes, right, and kind of see what they're seeing. And you have to – I equate it to we've talked about it before in here. But remember, I always like yell at our guys if they have like brochures and stuff sitting up at the front counter. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like at the front desk, if they have like pamphlets and stuff.
Yeah.
I hate that, right? Because what happens?
They pick it up and read it rather than talking.
Rather than looking at you, yeah. Rather than paying attention to you, they're they walk in and they pick this thing up and they're going like this, you know, and who knows what they're looking for, right? And you're trying to like sell them, you know, you're trying to convince them that, you know, this is the place they should be. And they're like distracted by the thing. So one of the things in Terry Jones' PowerPoint presentation, he had almost none, and I don't know how many it was, but he had very few slides that were bullet pointed text. Right? Now here's the strategy. Right, you won't get mad. Like we're trying to sell somebody something, right? Like you have to be very conscious of what the internal dialogue they're having without you. right? You have to be thinking about what they're thinking while you're trying to get them to think what you want them to think, right? I mean, you know, for lack of a better way to define it. So while I'm reading slides, you have to kind of just think about what questions they're asking themselves, what answers they're giving, right? And you have to build into the presentation them doing what you want them to do. So if you want them to stare at the PowerPoint for 7 minutes while you're clicking slides, then make them read a bunch of text, because that's what they'll do. You know, they're polite. They'll pretend they're doing what you want them to do. And with having a bunch of bullet points on there, a lot of text, that's what they'll be doing. So on Terry's deal, one of his slides was this kid that looked like he just ate a pickle. Like, you know, like this really funny expression with the cheeks and all that stuff. Well, what does that make you do as an audience member? The slide comes up and you go, what is that? And you look at Terry to explain to you what you just saw. You see what I'm getting at here? Right? So you're trying to create a conversation that you don't have to say a word in many cases, right? You're creating an environment where this person is now looking to you for an answer to a question that you've posed to them. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I think Eric's feedback is exactly right. If it's, you know, too long is too long, and what you were proposing was probably too long. But I think what's really important is you need to make the presentation very interesting, and a graph that maybe describes your statistics is a good way to use something like that. But then also use these slides that force the person to go like this. Right? Like, what is that? Tell me the answer. Or explain to me what I'm looking at here, or, you know, that sort of thing. You know what I'm saying?
So I kind of want the computer to be like the third person in the room.
A little bit, yeah. Describe it to me.
Well, when the computer's
like
talking...
Like they're having the conversation.
When the computer has a lot to say, we're going to listen to the computer. When the computer has nothing to say, they're going to turn to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and try to create that them looking at you thing. I'll tell you how we do it. I'll tell you a couple of examples of how we do it. Almost all the slides we have in both of them, tell you the truth. But whatever. Almost all the slides, so let's say, you know, 3 out of 5 maybe, right? 3 out of 4 maybe, are parents telling them stuff that I don't want to tell them. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to have to overcome the price objection. I just want to click the thing and have one parent come up and say, you know, you've seen the website, right? We just took the money out of college thing, and, you know, whatever, right? I mean, and that's not the one we use to tell you the truth, but that type of thing, right? So I want the parent, I want like third-party social proof to kind of do the work, the heavy lifting.
So
for
your
me.
Slideshows are videoed?
Yeah. It's really easy and powerful.
Yeah.
And they're very short. I mean, the little video clips are maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 seconds or 40 seconds or something like that. But it's I'm not trying to persuade you. This is five parents just like you who had this result, and, you know, I don't think you're any different, neither do they, sort of stuff, right? Is that useful? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the pickle, just remember the kid with the pickle. Because that's the visual that I still remember from the presentation, right? I remember like three things about Terry Jones: that he started Travelocity, that he was like one of the best speakers I've ever seen, in the pickle. You know, I mean, those are the things that I remember.
You know, when you were just saying, Jonathan, I asked you like, what was your process? You know, you brought up the thing discipline. You know, parent says, oh, I'm, you know, you noticed on the sheet as discipline. And then you started telling her about how you handle discipline and stuff like that. Where I would differ from that, which is kind of goes to what we were talking about, you just do it in a mechanical way, the other, is that I asked them, I said, what kind of discipline issues are you having?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then when they respond, I ask more questions, and they respond. So that's what's building the trust, because I'm listening to them.
Yeah.
And then I give them how we handle and what we're going to do, and then I tell them the results of what it's going to be and what they're going to expect. And as a matter of fact, when you walk out and you can see on the training floor, look for this and this and this, and that's what that is in action.
Yeah.
And then they go out there and it's they see it for themselves. I don't have to tell them, they can see it for themselves.
Okay. You know, I think the point you're making too is really important. Like, and this happens to us all the time, especially in this environment where we have lots of different owners and lots of different people, right? Mm-hmm. And John, I hope you're not thinking this way. I doubt that you are. But it would be easy for someone to think, if I have this great PowerPoint and all these cool videos and all this stuff, I don't have to do the sale anymore. It just all happens for me. them. That conversation is what you need, what needs to happen, right? This just helps you, instead of you being the person that has to overcome those objections, it's other parents or it's other, you know, statistics and stuff like that. But it's also like helps you keep on track and helps you keep your place and you don't miss critical things and that sort of thing, right? So and we go through this with franchisees and training all the time. The from the heart, proof is in the pudding, real conversation that he just had is what has to happen. These tools just help facilitate that consistently and smoothly. You know what I mean? Don't try to replace it.
Right.
You know, just augment it, you know.
But when you have staff doing it, these tools are really essential.
Absolutely vital. Absolutely. And especially, you know, in, where James is at with considering a second location, all this stuff has to be canned, systemized, scripted, you know, beat into their brain, trained and trained and trained and trained and absolutely, you know, absolutely. Absolutely. Good. Any other thoughts on that? Any other? The PowerPoint thing is good. If you ever have a chance to see the guy from Travelocity, you should take it because he was really, really, really good. And he didn't sell anything, so I don't know what, I'm not sure what that was all about. But must have had a pretty steep speaking fee, so, you know, he wasn't standing in the room for his own, you know, good looks. Okay, good. Master Oliver has been kind enough to donate some time this afternoon. Do you guys want to?
You are gonna let me go eat first.
Well, that's right. 4 o'clock, right?
Oh, okay.
Okay. No. We're good. We're good. So we've got some strategy to do here. He's gonna come in at 4, so we'll spend about an hour with him. I think we have option A, option B, James. If you want to do maybe a half a session and then finish up tomorrow morning.
That's fine. I don't have a whole lot, so
sure, yeah. Sure. Well, let's do that. Let's start with James, and then we'll do a little Q&A if we need to. And tomorrow, I kind of deliberately wanted to spend a bunch of time with, you know, just some roundtable stuff after a couple of hours in the morning. And we've also got Terry Bryan is going to be in town tomorrow for a few hours in the afternoon. So if anybody is, you know, even remotely interested in owning a building or getting into that phase of business ownership, you know. Okay. Oh, great. And Dave, were we lucky enough to get Dave on the horn tomorrow?
You know, I haven't actually tried. I'm sure we can.
Yeah, I hadn't heard back from him.
I'll try Steve, Dave, and Keith.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. Okay. Well, that'd be an interesting conference call. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're trying to accomplish there. Not trying to accomplish, but you know, we have a bunch of these guys in town this week anyway. So I, except for Donna Thorne and Trujillo, I kind of like. I don't know the right word. I kind of forced them all to be at your disposal this weekend.
Coerced, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I kind of coerced them all at being at your disposal for the weekend. So if you need anything from Karen, and Larry Donathorne will be more than happy to talk to you too. Karen, Terry Bryan, Dave Kovar, then there's somebody else. Elsa. If you guys need anything from any of those guys, they're here for you. Dave, they're here. Dave's fantastic.
Dave's amazing. I've sat with Dave a couple times.
And he's trying to get Keith Hefner and Steve LaValle all on a conference call for tomorrow. But I'm not sure.
Steve's a cool study.
What conference were they
in? Well, what we wanted to do, maybe instead of ending early tomorrow, maybe go an extra hour and get us, Steve, Dave, Keith, and Master Oliver all on the line together and just do one of these things with them.
Wow.
It's really useful.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really useful. We do that with Dan every month. You know, we have Dan, Bills, Master Oliver, Lee, a few other guys on the horn. And I mean, you know, it's tough to trade that half an hour of the week, you know, that half an hour of the month for anything. You know what I'm saying? Okay, good. So let's do that. So James, why don't you go ahead and let us know what you've been working on, what's been working, and what's challenging, and we'll see where we're at.
I am in the middle of trying to create the phenomenon. You guys are all familiar. Anybody not familiar with that term, the phenomenon? Everybody knows what it is? Okay, well, I'm in the middle of doing that right now. And the book is just one of those. I'm actually writing another book. It'll be finished. I could have it finished now, but I want to put a couple extra things on it. So I'm doing these for what I'm basically trying to do is I don't know the exact model. Maybe you can help me fill in some of that. Dan Kennedy talks about the pyramid, and he talks about there's like three levels, and you could be this, You can be an expert, and then you can be a celebrity. And celebrity always has the most credibility, and that's the one everybody listens to. So that's what I'm trying to create out of myself and my community right now. And so when I have a book, all my students know this is out. They'll be able to order it on Amazon. I don't really care if they see it or not, but that's not for them. But the fact that I've written a book, and I'm the only martial arts guy in my city that has written a book, and I've got another one coming right behind it, puts me in a celebrity status. The after-school program, for some reason this year, we've always had difficulty. We started doing the after-school program with this with one school. It was a middle school, and it was a lower-class one, but it was one, right? And you're not supposed to do it in the lower-class schools, but you know, if that's all you got and it's going to give you practice, you do it. And so I kept using that as my proving grounds, and then that got me into another one. And then we got another one last year, and that one there led to another one. So this year we did two in a row, or two at the exact same time. And we've got two more that we're going to start here again, plus the book, books. And basically I'm creating a celebrity out of myself and my school. I don't do a lot of my teaching anymore. I completely pulled myself out, like to say, get out of my own way. I love to teach, and I'm a little bit too much of a hard ass for my own good, because my students, they don't like it, and they quit, and I don't want them to quit. I want them to stick around so I can kick their asses a little bit more, right? And so I have my wife teaching a little bit of that, and I have some of my other instructors teaching that, and then now I'm that wise old man with the gray beard at the top of the mountain. That when I do come out, they pay attention. They're excited to hear from me. I'm doing a monthly seminar series all for just for my master's training guys, where they get to train directly with me, and I make a big deal about them getting to train with me and how each year, and each 6 months, it's going to be harder and harder to get to me. So that's where I'm at right now in my school, is creating that. I'm frequently communicating and making myself interesting with my students. I send them a Monday morning email without fail, and sometimes I'll send a Tuesday one, and sometimes a daily email, just with things that are going on in my life. You know, I don't know if you guys, if you can tell by looking at the picture there. If you look at it real close, you might notice there's a little difference in what you see in that picture and what you see today. Anybody know what it is? It's a little of that Where's Waldo stuff. Take a look at the picture. What do you see that looks different about me today?
Which picture?
Either one of them, but the one at the bottom.
Well, the goatee was...
Yeah, see? What do I look like now?
I was going to say the goatee, but, you know, it's not...
Yeah, I have the goatee.
Yeah, but you didn't there.
No,
you didn't
no not in that picture, the one, the other one. But that's what it is. Is my hair is like all dark now, right? And so why is that? So I sent an email to my students that says, Master Therese's hair mysteriously, all the gray is mysteriously gone, something like that. And so they're like, well, I got to read about this. And so I explain. I get a call from MTV, and MTV wants me to audition for the show called Made and make somebody into a martial artist. So, which
Chan Lee did that a couple years ago.
Yeah, and so they recommended I dye my hair to get rid of the gray so I'd look more of the 30 to 35 crowd, and so then the students are like, oh man, Master Therese is going to be on TV, and he's going to be on MTV, and my, you know, so they look at the celebrity status, and they get to be next to this guy, and then on my wall, I've got my wall of fame, and you know, some people talk about they don't care who you are, I think they do, I really do. When I'm standing next to Gene Simmons, and they don't know anybody that's met Gene Simmons, that gives me an instant credibility booster. When I get a picture of Chuck Norris with me and Chuck Norris, and I've got pictures with Bill Wallace and Joe Lewis and all these guys, the kids might not care, but the parents, a lot of them know who those people are. And I've got pictures with Donald Trump and George Ross, and I'll get a picture with Ivanka Trump this next month. And I put those all on my wall and call it the Wall of Fame, and so when they come in, they're staring at those pictures, and I've got all the people listed underneath there, exactly who they are and why they're famous. And, you know, that I'm doing all the press release stuff right now. So I've got a press agent working on my after-school program to get press in the news for us. And I'm going, that's my big thing, is community involvement and press releases and making myself a celebrity. And then I got this from the last Inner Circle meeting. I forgot who said to do it, but I started thinking about that. I'm not one to celebrate my birthday. I never have been. But I turned 40 this year, and I thought, what a great time to do this. And so on my birthday, you guys can pass that around.
That's good.
On my birthday, I got birthday cards for everybody in my class. Not my birthday, it was their birthday. And inside that, they got a $5 bill that I just went on the internet, took a little picture of a $5 bill, went out and took a goofy picture of myself and posted it on there. And they got a birthday card signed, hand-signed by me, and I put the $5 in there, and it's only good for tonight on anything you want to use it on except for water. Right? You can use it on, and then I listed out about 20 things they could use it for. We've got this master training seminar coming up. You got promotion test coming up. we got this other thing coming up, blah, blah, blah. And I gave him a bunch of ideas. I said, but it's only good for tonight. Now, I don't know how many birthdays you guys have been to where you went to celebrate Charles's birthday and he gave you a present. What normally happens is you go to his birthday and you have to give him a present. Well, on my birthday, I'm going to make a big deal of it and everybody here gets a gift. And then I put the yard sign out there, and this is Master Thera's 40th birthday, special deal today only. And I had people come in off the street, two types of people. Number one was they were coming in because they wanted to find out about this special thing. And number two is people who were my students before saw that I was turning 40, and they stopped in to wish me happy birthday. Oh, and so it was kind of reactivating people.
That's clever, yeah.
And so that's what I've been doing for pretty much since the beginning of the year, is really going at the celebrity status, not just like a big-time celebrity in the martial arts area, but in my school. I am a celebrity in my school. When I walk in, people are like, oh, there he is, right? I mean, that's just, it's gotten to that point, because they'll see me on a DVD, but they won't get to see me in person for a long time.
Yeah.
And then I'll come out, and I'll, like, do a little something, and they're like, oh, my goodness, I thought Mr. Eli was good. I didn't see Master Derek before. And so when I do teach, all eyes are on me, and then I see that, and then I use that as an opportunity to promote my program. I'll be talking to those guys, but really I'm talking to him, because his son needs to be in this program.
And it's almost like a third-party endorsement.
Absolutely. And so that's what I've been doing, and it's had a huge thing. Another thing that I did along the same lines is I retired from competition in 2001. I competed for 20 years, and I stopped competing in 2001. And I told my students that we're 200 active students. We're probably about 210 or 215 right now, and our goal is to get to 300. I told him if we got to 300, I'd compete again.
Right, right.
We have November competition coming up, and then I would come out of retirement, but I need your help to do that with. And so if we get to 250, I'll compete in one event. If we get to 275, I'll compete in two events. If we get to 300, I'll compete in everything, which means you're going to get to watch me get my butt kicked. And I said it like that. I said, I haven't been training like, you know, what I did when I was before, so I'm going to be, you know, putting my money where my mouth is at. And so I did that, and then I went and I lost 30 pounds, and I created a diet program out of that, which is one of my businesses online now. And so I put that all in there, and I showed a big picture with a big belly and big fat face and stuff. And then at the end of the video, it showed, you know, the slim down process. And, you know, I just created this huge momentum thing with the students. And so those are the things that have been really, it's created a lot of energy in the school this year, because they want to see me compete. We ran the referral contest, my best referral contest ever thing, you know, that I told you guys about last time, and that was great. And then it ended up, nobody used it, the gifts, but the energy from it was great.
Yeah.
And so we've got this other thing going on right now where we're doing it, and I got it from Bill Clark, but it's a referral contest where you bring one friend in and we give you a $50 Visa card, and you bring another one in, you get a $100 Visa card, and you bring another one, you get a $150 Visa card, and it keeps going up in $50 increments. So you get 50, 100, and 150, which is about $300 for bringing three students in. And then I explain to them, instead of just saying we're going to give this to you, I say, okay, and the reason why I'm not going to just write you a check or anything, because you guys would use it for a bill, or you guys would use it to pay something off. I don't want you to do that. I want you guys to go buy something for yourself. For instance, Charles, I know you've been looking at that. What's your favorite game that you have right now? You have the Wii, and how would you like to be able to buy an extra five games for your Wii? Oh, man. And then, okay, well, if you brought three friends in, you could do that. And now I got them thinking about that, and so everybody's, like, referring the heck out of people. Those are the things that are really working for us. I'm doing a lot of paid advertising as well, but that's not paying as well. Most of the other stuff that I'm doing with the celebrity thing is really doing it, and I make sure my students know everything. I will send some, I'll take like a quick video of myself sometime this weekend in front of the mountains and things and send it to the email, put it on my YouTube, and then send the students an email, greetings from Master Theris from Denver. I have a special message for you, and, you know, hey, even when I'm out here in for my own training, I'm thinking about you guys, and I just wanted to say, you know, happy Friday to you. And you know, by the way, I've got my master instructor's coming in next weekend. He's going to be teaching the snake style Shaolin Kung Fu form, and I wanted to give you a personal invitation to come to it. And you know, this is a black belt level form, but I'm going to give you a personal opportunity to train with my instructor and learn this, you know, wherever you're at in your rank. And we've only got five slots left in the program or in the seminar, and I hope that you're one of those guys. And so I do that kind of stuff. And
that's what I'm doing. That's huge. I mean, like, Eric's really good at that, and Master Oliver's really good at that too. I mean, like, one of the problems, of course, when you're like the chief instructor or even like the secondary instructor or whatever, is like there's too much access to you.
That's familiar.
There's too much access. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like when that's one of the big things that Master Oliver never misses this. Neither does Master Smith. They never miss this at all these like intramural tournaments and stuff like that. their renewal opportunities. You know, I mean, that's what it is. It's a huge renewal opportunity, huge retention opportunity. And they never miss a chance to, like, to sell. I mean, they, you know, really, I mean, but it's all about, like, now, you know, when am I going to see you in the leadership program so that you can work out with us at the leadership workout, you know, next month or whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff. Eric's really good at that. You have, like, monthly, like, seminars and stuff like that you do, right? Like, workshops and all those types of things that they only have access to if they're a certain level and stuff like that. So, yeah, it doesn't work real well if you're the guy teaching them all. When they're white belt, you've been teaching them all the time. And then you say, well, now I'm going to go teach other stuff. I mean, it works, but it works better when you're, like, inaccessible.
I've done the same thing. I pulled myself off the floor for all of our kids' classes. You know, I still teach the senior adults because I enjoy it, but
I will say
that's next.
2 years ago, when I really started following Dan Kennedy more, I did exactly what you're doing. And about 6 months ago, I realized, you know what? I really missed being on the floor and working with students.
Yeah,
I'm going the other direction. I'm there all the time now. I'm just 10 times happier.
Yeah. So it's you. It's you. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, I teach what I want to teach, and it's not that I don't ever do anything. I come out on the floor and spin something up. I'll watch the instructors teach something and make sure that it's a time where they're teaching something and they think they're doing a great job, but then I can, like, really show them what it looks like when it's supposed to be done correctly.
Yeah.
And so if I have that opportunity, I'll always go out and spin it up, even if it's just 60 seconds. But I teach my master's training program, guys, which is... that's what I love to teach, and that'll be Mondays and Tuesdays for 15 to 20 minutes after the class, and everybody else is wishing they could be in that class, and so that's my favorite part of the class to teach anyway.
Yeah. And that's what...
that's a lot of leverage.
That's what we started doing.
That's a lot of leverage, yeah. Yeah, it's really useful.
But it's hard for me. I love to teach, too, and if I could, I teach all the beginner's classes because I'm the best salesman in our school. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that can explain our program like me, but then they've got nothing to look forward to, so, you know, like at once a month, I might come out and just say, Mr. Eli, you jump in class today, I'm teaching today. And then during that class, my entire class is this one big, you know, leadership class or something, which is the next thing we're doing is my leadership program. I'm doing it again next month, and we're going to have probably 15 to 20 students enroll that night in my leadership.
Yeah, you do that group intro, basically like group enrollment type kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't teach any beginners. I do draw the line there, but I do enjoy teaching advanced. So I'm teaching 5 days a week.
Yeah, and you know, and again, you're right. It's a you thing. It's a you thing.
Do you think that has anything to do with your numbers right now? Any correlation? You said you had some drop-offs.
No. If anything, it's actually helping keep retention higher.
What?
I know in my school it would be a big difference. If I started teaching again, my numbers would drop by half.
I was going to say it sounds like you're real old school. You remind me of my instructor. Yeah. Well, he comes in and kicks people.
This is an overgeneralization, right? But in most cases, what happens is, and this is like a lot of guys with NAPMA now. I mean, like, you know, 20 months or whatever, I've been every day on the phone talking to people, you know, talking to school owners. And what I don't know a great way to really describe it. I mean, you guys all know what I'm trying to say, but what happens in most cases when they can't divorce themselves from being the chief cook and bottle washer is they're not realizing what opportunity cost there is there. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine if that's what you love to do and that's your – I mean, look, it's an every person thing, right? What tends to happen is where the pendulum swings is they allow – all of their focus and energy. Hey, Mr. Miller. They allow all their focus and energy to be taken off high return activities and put on low return activities. You know what I'm saying? They're teaching green belts, but they're not like making sure the ad goes out. You know what I'm saying?
Those that I can reach.
Anyway, but yeah, we get the idea.
Sean play taxi?
He did, and I miscalculated how many people were out there, so we had to send another car. So. It is what it is.
Why don't you just have to take a shuttle?
What's that?
Why don't they just take a shuttle?
Yeah, we were already 3 steps down the path by the time, you know, anybody figured that out.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Tailwind brought everybody in a little early today, so yeah, it is what it is. Okay, good. So what are the big challenges right now? What can we help try to solve? AdWords?
I want to focus in on that. I think that's I'm missing a huge opportunity. I need to get the video stuff on the website.
Yes, big.
The video suites pages, I really need to get on those, and that's probably number next. But the Google AdWords is something that I've got to get on top of. It's just, I think that's a huge opportunity I'm not exploiting.
Yeah, let's sit down with Elsa. She's here Saturday almost all day. let's all share with her together Saturday evening.
I'd love to share my account and have her give me some advice.
Yeah, because we went through a bunch of that stuff.
She's coming to mine, too.
She's doing a bunch of that stuff now, but, you know, here's the problem with it is it's very labor-intense, right? It's very labor-intense. Take somebody to focus on it and monitor them on at least a couple-day basis or something like that. We'll chat with her and see what kind of input she has. She just got back from that thing with Ryan Dice, so you know she'll have a pretty good perspective on that thing. Okay, AdWords. Okay. Well, so while Mestral will be here about 25 minutes. So you know earlier I talked about like that school thing and all that stuff, right? And it seemed like that should be something we spend a little bit of time on before he gets back, yeah? So for the summer, just like a quick recap, is the after-school program process that we use like during a school year, the summertime is a little different, but not really. And Joe's question was, you know, if you have 200 kids in a program, how do you handle that, and how does it look, and all that kind of stuff, right? Happy Rob, yeah. Yeah. And here are the two differences in dynamic. The difference in dynamic number one is when you do it with the school during the school year, you've got, let's say, 1,000 students in the school, and you're marketing to those 1,000 students to get, let's say, 150 of them or 200 of them to raise their hand, right? So now you're not dealing with 800 of them that are distraction, right? Or 800 that aren't interested or that whatever, for one reason or another, didn't raise their hand. Now, this is a little different in the summer programs because we take the whole group usually. Right. So if there's 40 kids or 60 kids or 150 kids in the summer program at the daycare or at the school or whatever, we just try to do the whole group, right? And it's usually pretty easy to get 100% of attendant registration forms for those guys because they have a check-in and check-out process that's pretty tight. You know what I mean? They like check them in every day or they check them out every day, and they say, oh, by the way, we have, you know, Baja Karate coming in next week to start a character development program. Here's the permission slip. Fill it out right here.
Permission slip.
Yeah.
Parents are used to that. They come home all the time with permission slips for any kind of activities at school.
Yeah, and if you're really like, we have to train them to do it for us, right? Because there's two things I don't want them to screw up. I don't want them to hand them their permission slip and have them take it home. I want them to fill it out right there in front of them, right? So that they stick it right in their folder, right? And they're checking them in and out anyway, so it's not a big deal. And the second thing is we force them to answer the questions at the bottom of the permission slip, right? We talked about that before. I always have a series of five questions, and it's always like, yes, I want more free information about this, right? And the thises are the different ways we're going to categorize the database, right? So it's, yes, I would like more information about free anti-abduction classes. Yes, I'd like more information about free character development classes. Yes, I'd like more information about free self-defense classes, whatever, right? And depending on the yeses they check, that's how we enter them into the database. So then it segments the mail and stuff that we send them and the phone calls that we give them based on the benefit that they chose. You know what I'm saying? So those are the two things that we want to make sure that the daycare provider is forcing them to do live on scene is complete the thing, full name, full address, full email, full phone number, sign it, and then check the box, you know, check the yeses and nos. But when it's 100 people or 200 people or whatever, if you've got a PA, you're usually in good shape. And I have two little portable ones that they have at the school, and they just take them with them if they don't.
Running the class, not a problem.
Yeah.
Striping.
Yeah,
that's an issue.
Well,
that's what I need to know. How are you doing that?
Well, in a lot of cases with those guys, see when they're in that program, they haven't like earned their belt yet, right? That's kind of like their goal. That's one of the bribes we use to get them into the school.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But as far as the stripes goes, like let's say there's 500 people, right? In the gymnasium is an easy solution, by the way. Let's say there's 500. You're talking about when they bring the homework back in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have everybody who brought homework today. Everybody's in their lines. They sit down and they put their homework in front of their legs. And we just have somebody run down the row and give everybody a stripe and pick up their homework, you know, assignments, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, logistically, it's not that much of a challenge.
I don't know. I had a class with 50, and I had somebody running around almost the whole class doing that.
No. Have them all sit down at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And they're like, have their homework sitting on the floor in front of them, right?
Right.
And then you can just have one person run down and peel off a stripe and hand it to them, pick up their homework, and keep moving. Yeah.
And what are they putting those stripes on?
If they don't have a belt? They're just keeping.
So I hand this drop, put it on the
So basically, you're using the ones that you can buy, like already pre cut and everything.
Homework assignment. Yeah, that's sure. Well, I'll show you what they're
belt for. Yeah, we use them. So we use power stripes and stuff like that.
We don't even use stripes. We use stickers.
Yeah, I mean,
stickers are much faster.
Yeah, I think
And we put the
stickers. Wait a minute. That might be what you're asking. Are you saying, like, cutting tape and all that sort of stuff?
No, I'm talking. I mean, I'm really thinking about the logistics. I did a class and it was over 50 kids.
What kind of stripes were
you doing? At that time, it was tape all the way around the belt.
That's probably what that is. That's a challenge.
Yeah.
This is, you've seen these things, right?
You've seen the pre-cut?
You can tear them right off.
The pre-cuts?
Yeah, but you can tear the paper. So, you know, we just pre-tear a bunch of them off and put them in a box. Mm-hmm. And then just run down and, I mean, it's really quick.
Yeah.
Let me see what you're talking about.
They're Century and Angel Roll both selling.
They
are. The stickers are good, but I know what he's talking about. They sell sheets.
You go boom.
But don't those fall off of their belts pretty easily?
You don't put on the belt, put on the shirt. Yeah, and then tell them when they get home they can tape it on their belt. It'll stick to the shirt better than their belt.
Right, but they're not going to wear the same shirt Thursday, so they have to take it off and then
put it on their belt when they get home.
And if I find maybe some of those puffy stickers that have really good adhesive on them, stick them right on the belt.
You lost?
Yeah. Those googly
eyes. I'm here at Lakewood Park.
No, we did that work really well. Thick Sharpies. And you can actually do it right on the belt. Just
put a line. Big, thick.
But that would, they might be able to copy it. It's like, you'd hate to think somebody would cheat, but, you know, because I have parents, they do. I had parents that were almost about to fight because there was a tie with stripes, and he shouldn't have got that, blah, blah, blah. I saw this.
Okay,
he didn't do anything.
The
only
time I had a tie, both from the war.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have both of them. I had to come up with something on the spot. I did that, too, but I hate having
them. There's three different colors for three different assignments.
Right. That's a good idea, because it's a real pain in the butt to make.
What was a good idea?
Yeah, I can't find them for some reason.
The big headed Sharpies, the really thick. Mm-hmm. That's his idea.
Oh, right.
So I have a red assignment, a green assignment, and a blue assignment, you know, and the different homeworks. And they're copied off on papers, and when they hand them a red one, red stripe, green stripe.
Yeah, I mean, that part of the logistics, I'm not. I've never had a challenge with it. We've done, like, you know, 200, 250 kids in the program. But the basically, the stripes that we're using they're vinyl, you know, and they're a sticker. They stick onto the belt.
Yeah.
But they have a paper backing, so you can just tear all the paper off, you know, or tear the paper into stripe tape things.
Yep.
Just give them. It's a good idea.
Good.
But again, keep in mind, we haven't given them a belt yet at this point. So we're just handing them the stripes. And it's their responsibility. You go through the whole "this is your responsibility" thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the drivers to get it back into the school is they got to go back to the school to get their belt so they can put the stripes on the belt. You know,
so you don't give them their belt anymore in the first class.
No, when they come to their first lesson at the school, we do.
You're talking about after school program.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they come to the school, you don't give a belt anymore.
When they come to the martial arts school, and complete their first class,
they come to the gym class after school for the first after school class.
No.
You don't give them a belt anymore.
No, we give them their belt when they complete their first class at the martial arts school. We do it in front of the whole class.
An incentive to make them come to the school.
Yeah, it's a bribe.
So you give them the belt next after school class back at the gym after that, so everybody sees it.
In the martial arts school, in front of the class that they took at the martial arts school. With the instructions to make sure from now on they wear the belt in their class at the after school program.
I see.
And then the other kids want to know how they got a belt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a good bribe.
It's cool. Yeah, it's a good bribe. Yeah. So I mean, does that help or no?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't understanding it, but
well,
I mean, the logistics are pretty
cool. If
you're
not striping them on the belt, you're
handing it to
them. Handing them one of the stripes that has that backing on it that it doesn't stick to anything. They just hold on to.
Yeah.
You basically just can hand those out as they're walking out the door.
Yeah.
That's an easy process.
Yeah. A couple of the other like tweaks that make it work really well were like.
You know, I have to interject.
No.
I've been doing that program for a long time after school. Very successful. I've had lately. I don't know what I'm doing different. Students that. Don't come to class at all during the whole program. At the end, when they come to graduation, register.
Happy problem. happy problem.
It's a great problem, but it's kind of weird. I really don't think I've changed anything. You know, so
you mean the ones you taught don't sign up, but the ones you
before
you might want to keep that one to yourself.
The ones who come to the school right away, they're good to go. I'm just talking about it in the past. The ones that only showed up to graduation, forget it. You know, good luck getting them to register. But lately, more and more of them have been signing up. So I'm wondering if the whole belt thing is a good idea. That's what I'm getting at. Because I make them earn their belt by doing an assignment, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and then they get a uniform if they come to the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when they show up for graduation, they get the uniform.
Yeah.
So that's what.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how much magic there is, you know, if it's a choice between they get a uniform or a belt, but I know that there's a lot of magic in bribing them. Right. You know, I mean, you got to give them a bribe that they're excited
about. I always
about,
try to get at least two or three kids to show up for the class the night
absolutely
that we have their first class.
I like absolutely to get the uniform at the school.
Yeah. The couple
they
little
make,
tweaks
they
that
make more of a commitment to come. So
yeah.
You know,
oh,
yeah. And let me tell you, for the uniform, kids jump through hoops.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes, they do.
But sometimes you give them that uniform, then they, if they're not there at the school, they're just at the after school.
I stopped giving uniforms out of mine because I was just giving uniforms out like candy, and now they get it as an honor roll at graduation.
Yeah,
it seems to work.
Yeah, we do it at graduation at this point, but yeah. I mean, there's lots of ways to kind of split those hairs, but I mean, the thing is, you do have to bribe them, right? You got to give them a reason. It's what's in it for me. I mean, that's what it always is. WIFM. So what's in it for me? Why should I come to the school? And the class that you think is cool, that should be compelling, they don't really understand yet. So there's got to be something tangible.
I'm thinking that if I'm doing a program for a summer camp and there is 150 kids, I'll be like, you have to come to the school to get your belt.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And absolutely. And a couple of the things that we've just kind of started doing with the after-school programs that now we're doing the summer things too is we always do the parent orientation day the first day of the class, right? So if it's, let's say we start the school program on Monday, we force, you know, by email and mail and by telephone follow-up, all the students that have signed up for the program, we make their parents be there for the first class, right? So, you know, it's after school or whatever. We make them show up, and we go through the whole thing. This is what we're going to accomplish over the next 3 weeks, you know, that whole deal, right? And then you're at that point trying to drive them in mass over to the school that night for whatever the cool special thing is. You know what I mean?
Maybe it's because we're in a more rural area, but most of the three major summer camp programs in my town, all of them provide transportation, so the parents are never at the camp. Mm-hmm.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah,
wow.
They always have to drop them off. Well, they provide transportation. Do you get to the camp? Oh, God, I've never heard of that.
Like school busing, almost?
School busing.
I've never even heard of that. That's crazy.
Have you ever heard of that?
We have something similar. Some of our schools do that. Their transportation bus, or they call it their activities bus.
Wow.
That picks them up at their house. That's interesting.
Well, it picks them up probably like the same route that they do for regular
school. School bus, yeah.
That's wild.
I'm sure they pay extra for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because regular elementary schools charge for that.
Well, keep in mind, too, the big winner here, and we probably glossed over it too quickly, but the big winner in any of these summer programs is having them come to you anyway, right? And the strategy is if they can come to you after their other activity of the day, it's better than coming before the other activity of the day, right? But, hey, guys, thanks. You made it. Did you bring it back here?
Yes.
They're here?
Not all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We just sent another car.
Well, did they send the other side of the road?
Yeah. They'll have to walk.
It's been 2 miles.
What do
you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah, I did have one other thing. I think I briefly touched on this the last time I was here, and it seems to have really worked well for us. You guys mentioned the price resistance guys. Who was it selected? I think he did.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They were getting it all the time.
On the phone.
I stopped doing the 2 free weeks, and I went back to my old $29.99 for three classes, 2 weeks for $29.99, and that weeds out 98% of the people that are price shopping.
Make it
just has made a huge difference. We get very little of the I can't afford it anymore. I've been doing that since January 1st, and it's been excellent. Plus, we're making $30 at a pop, you know, in addition to it, which is...
Basically, the uniform, you know.
So for us, it's been working really well. We haven't done that in 5 years.
So what did you go back to?
I took my 12 months down to 6 months, so I overcame the time objection. Mm-hmm. And then I took my free 2 weeks, because they always say, well, what about after the 2 weeks? You know, what's it going to cost then? Now I can tell them an actual number, right? Okay, now it's going to be 2 weeks for $29.99.
Okay.
It's not free anymore. Right. So I get all those... You know, the cheapskates not to come in.
Right.
They have to pay for something, right? So
cheapskates.
We've gotten past that. Seems to have been working really well.
I like charging them something
3 months
fun.
In, yeah.
You know,
I used to do that before I met Master Oliver, and I did the 2 week free, and up until this last year, I've been doing that. So
most of that depends on, like, the market you're going into, right? Like the offer is just the offer. Right, so I mean, a lot of the whole irresistible offer thing just depends on what media you're in, or what market you're marketing to, if it's a comparison or not. You know what I mean? So like, if you're in the phone book, it behooves you to have a much more attractive offer than everybody else in the phone book, because they're looking in the phone book at five ads, right?
Well, all of our other guys have free 2 weeks, free 1 month, free 3 months, and we're the only ones that charge for an introductory. So it automatically tells them this is going to be more expensive to go here, and if we call and pick up the phone, then, you know, they're expecting it.
Well, I mean, yeah, and there's lots of ways to bonus that. I've got a thing in the back I can show you guys, but, you know, our offer was like this long. You know, it's like free, you know, $398 value. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you're kind of, again, that's in a media where you're side-by-side sometimes with other people and other offers, and you've got offers competing with each other, right? But if you're marketing in a competitive vacuum, the price objection is either I can or can't afford it. It's never, but the guy down the street is $17.95 and you're $29.95. You know what I mean? So that's the big distinction, you know, as far as strategically. Hey, I'll be right with you guys. But I like charging them something to qualify the audience. You know what I mean? That's useful. You know? That's useful. But the last couple items before Mr. Oliver takes over here, we've got.
I got one quick.
And we've
thing.
Got some time in the morning. Yeah.
Are you done?
I'm done.
After years and years and years of figuring out how to compete with soccer, I got it. I'm going to do a kicking camp and teach the kids how to kick properly. Mm-hmm. Now, I kind of cheated. Both of my daughters play soccer, and they're standouts, right? I'm not saying, you know, that's because of my kid. They are. And so all their coaches know what I do, and they've come to me and say, what did you teach them? Mm-hmm. I told them how to kick, right? So now I said, I actually approached the head of the rec council and said, what would you think if I said, hey, I want to do a kicking camp and have each individual team come to my school and I'll do like, you know, 45 minutes of just walking over each kid's kicking, you know, mechanism and all that sort of thing. And of course, geared to soccer. Great, because he actually asked me to do it, right? So they have to come to the school to do it. I'm not going out to a field and kicking soccer balls. They have to come to the school. But we're just going to work on the mechanisms of kicking and making it more efficient kicking. So a lot of kids don't do it properly.
And now, is that soccer kicking or karate kicking?
Well,
it's kicking.
the kinesiology of kicking, right? A lot of kids go out on the soccer field, they kick the ball naturally, however they kick. But it's not proper. And coaches don't have enough time to teach them that, mm-hmm. to actually
mechanics.
Kick properly.
The proper mechanics.
Right, proper mechanics of kicking the ball, when you're punting the ball, when you're passing the ball, whatever it may be, or shooting. So that's what I'm going to cover. So while everybody is there, of course, I can promote my program, and now I'm in the rec council. And the next step is how to compete with baseball and lacrosse. Mm-hmm. It was a long time ago I learned from Master Oliver, you're not really competing with other karate schools, you're competing with everything else out there. So there's one, and I'm very excited about it. Very excited about it. I was able to do it with my older daughter's, her team, and I've already have two of the girls on the floor. So that was just one.
Get some testimonials from, like, the coaches, you know.
Right.
But, the one of the best direct mail, I think we might have talked about this a couple of meetings ago, but one of the best direct mail campaigns that Master Oliver did out here was that endorsed direct mailer with the pediatrician, I think it was, right? So it was like a third-party celebrity endorsement by their doctor, right? But, I mean, that would be the same deal with, like, the soccer coach, you know? By the way, coach, what are you guys doing when they're not in, you know, here in the season? You know, and if they can do an endorsement letter for you, or you write it, but then give it to them, and they mail it to the list.
And I don't know about your areas, but soccer is huge.
Are you teaching them to kick like the inside of their foot, or are they doing like regular?
I'm really worried about, you know, just the general kinesiology, perfect mechanics of kicking the ball right. Because a lot of kids leave their hip out of a kick, and so it's just, you know, their leg, or they actually just use from their knee down. All kinds of ugliness. As a matter of fact, when I was watching my daughters and watching all the kids on the field, I'm going like this, you know. So a lot of the parents, after they took it, were like, this is awesome, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, you know, if they want to really be good, then they need to come more.
They want to have the jump kicks.
You're right, jumping kicks.
Here's the short.
Well, we did demonstrate that. We demonstrated basically a bicycle kick to them. But not teach it to them. So that's an idea that you guys could play with.
Now, can you tackle your opponent in soccer with a scissor kick? Is that legal? You know, like the Chuck Norris thing where you put the legs around and take them down?
It's only illegal if you get caught.
Okay, right. So I mean, that, you can certainly tie that into soccer then.
When it comes to
here's
soccer.
Here's how you take out those champions.
Champion. The referee doesn't call it.
It's girls.
Oh, is it girls? All girls?
Oh, no, I'm doing all. Okay. Boys and girls.
Yeah. It's a huge hurt. I mean, we talked earlier about how, you know, go find the hurt, right? Well, it's a huge hurt, right? And definitely, I mean, get one of those little flip video things and go interview the coach that did the thing for you, and you got audio, video, and written testimonial and all that sort of stuff.
We're doing the fundraisers for the leagues. You know, so the kids are actually distributing karate lessons for $30.
And then
they bring their friends.
If you can get, I mean, write a letter for the coach and say, hey, listen, you know, would you be, you know, willing to, you know, he'll be back in just a few minutes.
Do you have Mark's phone number?
I do. Mark Creed.
Okay. Creed thinks he gave her the wrong number and they at the airport can't find each other.
Oh, you're kidding me.
His phone may have died.
His phone may have died. The phone number on the board right there is Wally Faulkner. His phone's live.
Wally.
Planes got in early today. Okay, so what we've got is we'll have Master Oliver in maybe 5 or 10 minutes for an hour, and then you know we'll go back to the hotel. And we've got all day tomorrow. The end of the day, you know, we're going to schedule out probably 2.5 or 3 hours to do some stuff. You know, Terry will be here, and Dave will possibly be on the phone, so we'll have that. So we'll have to be pretty. I think we're fine on time for the morning. I think we're in good shape right now. So that'll be useful. Why don't we take 10? Yeah, why don't we take 10 minutes and come on back and be ready to go?
Sounds good.